2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
We have breaking news on KSL News Radio. We just learned one person has died in a two-vehicle crash on the Mountain View Corridor just south of 201. A passenger vehicle hit a truck from behind at a stoplight. One person is confirmed dead. Mountain View Corridor closed northbound at 2400 South for the next few hours. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
this morning, teachers from West High School held a walkout in protest of the voucher bill that would, in one hand, offer them a $6,000 raise, but on the other would give $8,000 to students who want to go to private or charter schools. I'm KSL News Radio's Hugo Ricard-Bell.
Second, Salt Lake City police are investigating a body found in the foothills above Beck Street. Police think the person must have been living up there. They don't see any suspicious circumstances. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Mountain View Corridor is closed north of the 201 due to a serious crash, and we have a crash westbound I-80 2 miles west of Tooele. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
Cold temperatures continue statewide and a couple more storms coming. I'm Kevin Eubank.
30 degrees now. KSL's top national stories from ABC News.
The superintendent of the Newport News, Virginia School District, where a six-year-old boy shot and wounded his teacher, is stepping down in an agreement with the district, say school officials. The man accused of killing seven co-workers in Half Moon Bay, California, has been ordered held without bail, charged with murder and attempted murder. District Attorney Steve Wagstaff.
I would say to them that the one thing they can count on is that the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office will do everything in its power, working with the Sheriff's Office, to make sure that justice is done here.
Massachusetts prosecutors announced they'll charge a 32-year-old mother in the deaths of her two children, both under 5 years old, apparently strangled in the family's Duxbury home. After a 911 call, says District Attorney Tim Cruz.
First responders subsequently located three children in the homes under the age of five, unconscious, with obvious signs of severe trauma.
The DA says the 911 call reported that their mother apparently threw herself out of a window. A mixed day on Wall Street. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. Who knew that Utah is investing a lot of money to alleviate the drought through cloud seeding? Cloud seeding. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe has done the deep dive into what cloud seeding looks like in Utah and how it works. She's joining us now. So what exactly is cloud seeding?
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, it's kind of a weird term, but you can kind of imagine. So you hear cloud seeding. Imagine the state putting literal seeds into clouds. Those seeds are in the form of silver iodide, and they start first in a big machine. It's not even that big. It's kind of like a campfire that shoots up that silver iodide like a big fire. You just turn it on, it lights it on fire and sends it up into the atmosphere. Silver iodide goes there. It attaches to the water and brings that water back down in the form of snow. And that snow obviously goes into our mountains, then into our streams, and then into our lakes.
So where are these generators?
Yeah. So because we get our storms coming from the west and heading east, they are west of all of our mountain ranges. So in the Salt Lake Valley, there are a bunch of these generators, these big fires that people go out, they turn them on, flip it on, and wait for the storm to come in. And every little mountain range in Utah has a couple of these machines just lined up right before the mountain range, and they're just across the state.
Now, I know they do this sort of thing in Saudi Arabia and to limited effect, but here in Utah, what impact is it having on our snowpack?
Yeah, so we have 160 of these machines. One of them is actually remotely controlled at the top of the mountain. And I didn't get what mountain it was. She said in the mountains. But at the top of the mountains. And they say that the Utah Division of Water Resources says 5 to 15% more water. So plan on, you know, if we have 100% of our snowpack, 15% of that could potentially be because of these machines that we just keep turning on.
So there are campfire stoves, basically, that shoot fire and send silver iodide capsules way up into the atmosphere and make it snow.
Yeah.
And it works.
And it works.
Unbelievable. Thanks a lot, Amy Kobabe, joining us live. It's really cool.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.